welcome to this week's Church of England podcast. It's the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta on Monday the 15th of June, and various dioceses will be taking part in the commemorations. In a special edition of the podcast, we'll hear from the Bishop of Guildford as he meets a historian to talk about the Guildford Diocese connection to the Great Charter. And we'll also find out about an arts project run for prisoners based on the Magna Carta. But first, Salisbury Cathedral is one of the places with events happening on Monday. I met their head guide, Steve Dunn, by the Magna Carta, which is, as you'd expect, getting a lot of attention at the moment. Steve, we're looking at the original Magna Carta. It's in amazing condition.
It's fantastic, actually, and it's probably the best of the four extant from 1215. We've got ours is still around, obviously, in front of us. We've got Lincoln Cathedrals, which is actually in Lincoln Castle, and then there are two which are held in the British Library. And about 3 months ago, the four of them got together for the first time ever in the British Library and were showcased to scholars, academics, and 1,215 lucky lottery winners from the public.
What sort of reaction are you getting from people? A steady stream of visitors coming through.
Fabulous, fabulous. We've seen an increase in numbers, which we're really excited by. There's been a great publicity machine that's sprung into action, not just from the cathedral, but within the nation generally, and certainly the British Library exhibition really sort of kick-started all of that. There's been a lot of interest. Every time you turn on the television or on the radio, there's somebody talking about Magna Carta. It's phenomenally exciting.
And how did the cathedral end up with it?
Well, the cathedral's engrossment of Magna Carta was brought here by a man called Elias of Durham. And Elias of Durham was the steward to the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he was also one of the original canons of what was then the cathedral at Sarum, because we were 2 miles up the road at Old Sarum in those days. And he had a pivotal role in actually getting this cathedral built. He was something between an architect and or a designer and the clerk of the works.
So the church at the time played a pivotal role.
Yes, the church was, absolutely. And if you look at the very first article of the 63 in Magna Carta, it says that the church shall be free. Now, the history of that is that the church had suffered at the hands of John, and in exchange, John had been excommunicated and a thing called an interdict had been placed upon the country, which essentially meant that the church could not function. And John had refused to accept the Pope's nomination of a man called Stephen Langton to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. And as long as Langton couldn't come into the country, then so far as the Pope was concerned, Pope Innocent III, one of the most charismatic and effective popes probably ever, then he wasn't prepared to let the religion thrive in this country either.
Now, you've got new bits within the exhibition here, and I was particularly interested to see the one that looks at the impact of the Magna Carta around the world, because it has worldwide impact.
It has. Well, I mean, the Magna Carta, perhaps the core of Magna Carta today is the fact that justice cannot be denied, it cannot be sold or purchased randomly by the king in this particular case. So that, as a theme, that has been picked up by all countries which aspired to be free. And now, thankfully, most countries are that way. So we thought it was really important to have something that reflected how effective just that little part of Magna Carta had been in terms of building up confidence worldwide.
And there was even a constitution for Egypt, I think, from the last couple of years.
Yes, there absolutely there is. And as we know, Egypt has had a very unhappy time in the last few years. There's been a lot of fighting going on there, but they're starting to sort things out. And of course, we're very excited here because the project manager for this Magna Carta exhibition is originally an Egyptian.
Now, we're still standing next to the Magna Carta and people are quietly filing past, and I've heard so many different accents and different languages. What's it meant to the cathedral in this 800th year?
Well, firstly, we always welcome people, and we love to welcome people from around the world and showcase this, not only Magna Carta, but the fabulous cathedral in which it's housed. It's if you like, a jewel within a jewel. We've got a lot of Americans in today. We have an awful lot of Germans and other Europeans. And then people coming up from China, from India, from Russia, sort of relatively newly emerging nations, which have always been around, of course, but they're now coming here to share in our treasure.
How does it feel?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. I've always enjoyed coming to the cathedral, and I enjoy it even more, if that's possible, at the moment.
Steve Dunn there. And the cathedral has artwork on display inspired by the Magna Carta and created by inmates from a Wiltshire prison. Workshops were held at Earlstoke to explore the themes of justice, law and power. Jacqueline Creswell from the cathedral explained more.
The cathedral wanted to do something with prisons because obviously offenders have had their freedom and rights curtailed for a certain period of time for something they've done. And we thought it would be quite interesting to look at Magna Carta from another perspective. And Earlstoke happens to have a very good studios, but also a very good studio with two kilns. So it was obvious that perhaps we should do something in clay. And then I thought, asking how many offenders are at Earlstoke, there are a couple of hundred, I think 400 and something. And so I thought, what could offenders do? What could we all do together? And then incorporate so that we could show it at the cathedral. And the idea was to create these tiles. What guidance did you give to the prisoners? I mean, how did you get into them deciding what they wanted to do? Well, that was fascinating. We did a couple of workshops with them. So we went in and did a PowerPoint presentation so that we could explain to them what Magna Carta was all about. Because this is part of also a learning for them about Magna Carta's principles and what Magna Carta stands for. We then invited them to sign up and participate in a further workshop where we sat with them and created these workbooks that you see in the...
And the workbooks that you've got in a glass cabinet are amazing, and presumably this charts their progress through deciding what they were going to do.
So what we would do is we would get them... we provided some sort of collage material and asked them to sort of put some ideas together and then draw. And what we did, which was fascinating, was we would say to them, the word is truth. You have 3 minutes to draw for us what you think truth meant. And we got 40 completely different designs. You can see here we have somebody praying. We have a cross, the truth they say. We had one of the offenders did a camera for truth. Another one did a mirror. So it was fascinating to see their thought process.
They are quite strong subjects for prisoners to be talking about, you know, truth and justice and that kind of thing, particularly when obviously they're inside for being found guilty of crime.
Absolutely. So it's really to help them sort of think through the process. Not only was it going to be an art project, but it was a project that would perhaps get them to try and think about the situation they're in. And I do honestly believe that they came away with a slightly different perspective.
And you can see photos of that artwork on the Church of England's Facebook page. Runnymede, where the Magna Carta was sealed, is in the Diocese of Guildford, and an exhibition has just opened in the cathedral to mark the anniversary.
My name's Andrew Watson, I'm Bishop of Guildford, and I'm standing in Guildford Cathedral in the Treasury, where we have an exhibition of Magna Carta. It was in the Guildford Diocese in Runnymede that Magna Carta was famously first sealed on the 15th of June 1215, and we're celebrating the 800th anniversary of Magna Carta all this week and indeed this year. It's lovely wandering around the exhibition. There are a number of different items on display. The one that I think I enjoyed most was a Tony Hancock sketch from his Hancock's Half Hour, where as a barrister he asked the question, "Does Magna Carta mean nothing to you? Did she die in vain?" And I think there's something about that that kind of reminds us that although we see Magna Carta as a foundational document, a lot of people haven't really read it, certainly not before this year. We're now standing in front of a facsimile of the Magna Carta, a rather beautiful facsimile from the Salisbury Magna Carta. And I'm delighted to be here with Professor Nigel Saul, who's a Professor of Medieval History at the Royal Holloway College in the University of London. So who wrote the Magna Carta?
Magna Carta was a classic committee job. Different people were responsible for the drafting of different clauses of it. It's not like, say, the American Declaration of Independence, where you can say this was very much the work of Thomas Jefferson. There wasn't a Thomas Jefferson figure there at Runnymede in June 1215. It consists of 63 clauses. Each of those clauses addresses a specific grievance and offers a remedy to it. So what you have to imagine is all sorts of people coming along there in June 1215, all with their own grievances about this, about that, climbing on the bandwagon, and all of these grievances fed into the making of the Charter.
Stephen Langton, the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time, was obviously quite a key player in the whole development of Magna Carta. Can you tell me a little bit about your sense of his role in the whole proceedings?
Langton was a hugely important figure, a very distinguished intellectual. In the negotiations in June 1215, he acted very much as the go-between between the two sides, engaging in sort of shuttle diplomacy between the king, who was based at Windsor, and the barons, who by now were based on the other side of the river, a few miles away at Staines. But he did not actually write the charter. He did not actually draft the charter. But one clause of the charter very much bears his imprint, and that is Clause 1, which guaranteed the liberties of the Church in England.
Just looking at a more sort of global level, obviously the Magna Carta has been subject to much mythology that has been built around it. What do you see as the key themes that are still relevant to life in the 21st century?
Yes, there's certainly been an enormous amount of mythologizing about Magna Carta, an enormous amount. And I suppose the historian's job is partly to do demythologizing. But let me assure you, I'm not going to be a spoil sport. Magna Carta is undeniably a very important document. It's probably the world's most famous document, and rightly so. One bit of demythologizing, I think, is in order. Magna Carta did not establish democracy. Definitely, Magna Carta did not establish democracy. But Magna Carta established something which must be and is a precondition for democracy, and that is the rule of law. Without the rule of law, you cannot have a democracy. And the rule of law in this country was established by the Great Charter. In the next reign, Henry III's reign, Bracton was to say, in England the king is below God and below the law. That is what Magna Carta established. So I think it's hugely important in establishing that principle, which is the foundation of our liberty, the foundation of our government in this country, the rule of law. That is important for us, and that is why that this anniversary is worth celebrating. But I would also end by saying that Magna Carta is to an extent international, because the ideas of Magna Carta inform the constitutions, the legal systems of many other countries around the world. Australia, the United States, but also more recently emerging countries like India. So it's not just a national inheritance we should be cherishing, it is an international one. And that is why Magna Carta, this anniversary, is being celebrated all across the free world.
Thank you very much.
And you can hear the longer conversation between the Bishop of Guildford and Professor Saul on our SoundCloud page. That's it for this week's podcast. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.